I could feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit, and just a strong sensing of the Spirit of Lord and of the Lord. And I think sometimes it's truly desiring that above all else, because that's where we get our breakthroughs. We get our breakthroughs through just pressing in, and through there being a release. And I believe that that we're entering into that, and we're gonna stay entered into that. Amen. Just stay in a position of contending. Amen. And keep thriving. Keep thriving for the things of God. You know, I don't know what anybody's situation is this week, but I'm gonna tell you, keep thriving. Keep believing. Keep contending for the things of God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I want to pick up at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for this word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father. I thank you so much for what you've done, Father. And Lord, even tonight as we set our faith, I pray, God, that you would just allow us to be in a place of just receiving from the Holy Spirit tonight. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, even just rest upon me. Rest upon this congregation, Father. I thank you that, Lord, there's a liberty in receiving everything that you have for us. Father, I pray, God, give us eyes to see, a heart to receive, and Father, ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Father, I pray, let there be a release in your word tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, this is this passage of scripture I kind of felt to meditate a little bit on today, and then I was kind of charged by a message Dr. Morocco had shared a few weeks ago, maybe a month or more even now ago, but it was a message, and I don't know if many of you listened to it, but it was Go Beyond. And I felt such a stir, and I felt such a stir in my spirit today around this passage. And this passage for believers and for Christians, it's called the Great Commission. And we'll hear it many times. This is what the Great Commission is. It's to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. And we even see in Acts chapter 1 and 8 that, you know, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, to the ends of the earth. You know, we see that passage. And so it's just something that really, you know, it really should just be on the forefront of every believer's mind, that God's looking for us to make disciples. Amen. And I thought about it today, and I thought, in this time, day and age, you can think about like making a disciple. Well, Pastor, that's hard. That's hard work, right? It's hard work making a disciple. It's, you know, I call them, I try to get them to come to church, and they'll tell me yes, and then, you know, I'll go to pick them up, and then they won't be there. And, you know, all of us got stories, right, about ministering to someone, and someone just kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm coming, I'll be there, and then, you know, something happens. And so we sometimes think, well, man, this discipleship stuff, it's hard. It's hard business. And I got to thinking, you go back in time to the first century, when Jesus released this word to his disciples. Profound, really. I mean, Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go make disciples of all nations. I want you to keep in mind, these people haven't even left Jerusalem. They haven't left Judea. They haven't left Samaria. It'd be like, you know, even in West Virginia, I remember when I was a child advocate, I would work with families in Doddridge County, and as far as they've ever made it was Harrison County. You know, that, and they would go at midnight. McDonald's used to be open at midnight, but Walmart was open 24 hours. They wouldn't go out, you know. And so I think about the first century church that Here was Jesus charging the church to go and make disciples. To go and make disciples. You know, now we have airplanes. You know, they didn't have airplanes. You guys understand? They didn't have airplanes when Jesus lived, right? They didn't have bus. They didn't have trains. Now they had boats, right? They had boats, but their boats were very different than our boats today, right? Our boats had motors. Their boats consisted of a sail or it consisted of an oar. So you think about this just in, you know, first century Jesus being born to where we're at now, and I think, man, we have modes of transportation that you can go literally all around the world within a, you know, even with the supersonic jet now, I think they were talking about that you could go around the world in maybe 10 hours now. I don't know if that's true. I think I read that somewhere. Somebody can correct me later if I'm wrong. But this passage of Scripture, you know, that Jesus, you know, he gives to his disciples here, he also gives to us. He gives to us the church. You know, there are other commissions in the Bible, and there are other things that we're commissioned to do as Christians. But I think it's important to understand that we as the church, that we never leave that which Christ has called us to do, is to go and make disciples. Is it hard? I don't look at it as hard or not hard. I look at it as the commission given to me as a believer. Amen. Given to me as a pastor. Amen. Given to us as a church. You know, take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you some passages of scriptures tonight. Because see, I want you to, you know, and as I listen to Doctor preach this word, there comes a place where we have to lay down, I guess me, right? Me and you know, and he challenged his congregation to go beyond. To go beyond. And I think it's a profound message, and I would, you know, and I don't want to butcher Doctor's message up, because I'm going to come around some different things around this tonight. But I want to show you this in Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And this is the story of the two blind men that followed Jesus. Verse 27, it says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.'" And their eyes, what happened? What happened here? Their eyes were open, the Bible says. So, but he says something. He says, "According to your faith." According to your faith. I really think sometimes it's like this faith thing. I'm so enamored by faith, because, you know, you've heard this a lot over the last couple weeks. You know, the heavens belong to the Lord, but he's given earth to man. He's given it to us. And so, and here in a passage of Scripture, you know, you have two blind men that are following Jesus. Now, can you imagine even for a moment what that's like? They've heard about this man that if they could just, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. So many places you'll begin to see in Scripture that people were willing to go beyond. They were willing to, you know, whatever it takes. Can I tell you that's the church today? And I believe that about Kings, West Virginia. That, you know, we're a people that say whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know, testimony after testimony over the last few weeks, just hearing people, you know, say, you know, God's doing this, God's doing that. You know, I don't even know how many people we've had in prayer this week. Man, it excites me. I think it's 16 or 17, you know, on average, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I rejoice in that. Go beyond. Go beyond. But Jesus is saying something, you know, it's not according to Jesus' faith that we go beyond, but it's according to our faith. Our faith. Our faith. So when I think about the Great Commission, I think about, you know, go and make disciples. Do I want to make a disciple? Yes, amen. Amen. Jesus spent his 3 years in ministry with 12. And those 12 men flipped the known world upside down. Can I tell you tonight, you've got to get this in your spirit. All things are possible. You know, all things are possible. Those that are believing for family members to get saved, those that are believing for people to turn around, you know, life situations, whatever it is, physical healing, maybe they need a miracle. All things are possible with God. What is it? All things, right? All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I just want you to realize tonight that we have a part to play. And you've heard this and you know this out of this house, that we all have a part to play. You know, there's patterns of how God works, and you think about it throughout Scripture. You'll see it the story of Noah. And I love this to think about Noah. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? I want you to build a boat. I want you to build a boat. It's going to rain. There's never been rain. There's never been rain before, but I want you to go build a boat. And I remember one time when we measured off, we were in Hana down at the Helene Hall, and Miranda had this idea to measure off how big the ark would have actually been. And, was teaching the kids, and, you know, even for us adults, because I had never seen really a modern picture. I don't know if anybody's been to Cincinnati and seen the lifelike ark or not, but I've not been there. But I think it's a pretty big boat, wouldn't you guys say? Pretty big. But here's God. It comes to Noah and says, "No, look, I'm gonna. Your family's gonna be spared. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to go beyond. I want you to think. Don't think like everybody else is thinking. I want you to do what I've asked you to do. So it's a simple thing that Noah has to do. Does he walk in obedience? Does he walk in disobedience? Noah builds a boat. He builds a boat. And he labored for some years building a boat. You know, listen, sometimes we think that, you know, we don't get our breakthrough in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. There's something that happened that shakes. Well, you know, it's not in the cards. It's not for me. You know, Noah, how many years did Noah spend building the ark? How many years? Was it 130? Huh? Some say 120. Jamie, you're right there. Yes. So, but it was a long time. Amen. You know, can you imagine being in the process of going beyond for over 100 plus years, 120 years, building a boat? Your family's going to be saved. Would you do it for your family? would you do it so the gospel could be carried forth? Go beyond. Go beyond. I like that. I felt challenged today And I've listened to the message many times, and I've never preached doctor's message around this. You know, Noah, actually in Genesis 6:13, and God said to Noah, he said, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits with 50 cubits in height, 30 cubits. Anyway, you guys understand. It's a big boat. Make this boat out of gopher wood. You know, let's not just stop at Noah, but let's think about Moses for a second. Think about Moses. God appears to him in a burning bush. And, you know, Moses, like maybe us, I don't know if anybody's ever had excuses. Have you? I mean, have you Moses was like, "Hey, you know, I don't speak well. I'm not a good speaker. You know, I'm not the guy for this job. You know, who would I even go tell Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at this time? Who would I tell Pharaoh, you know? Who, on what order do I go?" And God says, "Tell him that I am that I am. Tell him that I am sent me." And so Moses has a choice, right? Does he stay in the place of who am I, or does he do what God's commissioned him to do? You know, you're going to the most powerful man in the world, and you're saying, "Hey, you need to set my people free." You know, of course, the plagues and all that. But You know, you have that at Moses. You have that at Joshua. Think about Joshua when Joshua was crossing over into the promised land. He fought a giant bigger than Goliath. Og. You know, he battled giants in giant's land. But you know, I want you to see, because see, this is what faith does. Faith will cause you to conquer every enemy. Faith will cause you to win at everything that you're called to. But I you know, it's like, you know, it is that going beyond. It's taking that place, taking that stance. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to stay idly by. I'm going to go beyond. You know, Joshua, I think about Joshua, you know, everywhere that your foot shall tread, I've given you the land. It's a promise. But God commissioned him to do what? To go and take land. To go and possess the land. Now, can you imagine walking around the walls of Jericho with instruments? Seems funny, doesn't it? Seems funny that God would take something like this and you know, the walls of Jericho would come falling down. You'd march around the city. We're going to just keep marching until we get our order from the Lord. But see, we know what faith does. Faith keeps you marching. Somebody, you need to hear that tonight. Faith, you know, you got to stay in the march. You got to stay in the march. You got to keep your horn ready. Amen. Amen. That right, Minister Lehigh? You got to keep your praise ready. You got to keep your horn ready. You got to get ready to. You know, I think about the battle of Jehoshaphat. You know, they call a 3-day fast, and a prophet releases a word to him. It says, "For the battle's not yours, but it's the Lord's." Okay, I'm trusting God. What are we going to do? We're going to go beyond. we're going to go down to the battle. We're going to go down to the battle. We're going to cling our instruments, and we're going to make a noise, a joyful noise. Think about Gideon. Guys, there's so many places in the Bible where these are people that aren't high priests. They're not presidents. They're not elite people even at all. Here's Gideon. You know what I love about the story of Gideon? God says, you know, we're going to shrink the number down so you don't think that you're the ones that's getting the credit. That you wouldn't glorify in what you've done, but let me show you what I can do. Let me show you what I can do. You know how many people were killed in that battle? 132,000. 132,000 Midianites were killed in that battle. 300 men. 300 men. That's powerful. That should excite us, amen. That, you know, per capita, even right now, that, you know, in Fairmont, West Virginia, there's not 132,000 people, but tonight in at King's Fairmont, there's 60 or 70 people in here to receive and receive something from the Lord. That you know what, I can have faith put in me to take me higher, to go to another level. Making a disciple, amen. I mean, honestly, Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. Think about David. Think about Samuel. When David was anointed, when David was anointed as king, he's running through to have that light shine down on you. And it's not about having everything lined up. It's just stepping, you know. And I love it. It's you know, be willing to just go beyond what you might even think or even imagine, and step out. Step out. Take a step of faith. You know, I love Doctor's message, you know, that he shares, you know, your time, your treasures, your talents. I love that, because ultimately that's what God looks at. You know, your time. Are you willing to give me time? Can I tell you, time with God a lot of times will always equate back over to people. Why? Because he loves people. Yeah, Pastor, I'm spending time with God. You know, every time I spend time with God, I feel the challenge. You know, there's times you got to get alone with him. There's times you got to press in. Amen. But every time I found myself getting with God, it's God will drop people into my spirit. Anybody like that? You'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta call this person. I gotta do that. I gotta, you know, and you know, because I want to stay in tune with with God. I want to stay in tune with. There are precious times you need in the Lord. You need to meet with Him, and you need to ask Him, and you need to pray. But then there's always those moments where it's like, oh yeah, okay, Lord. You know, I got to write that down, because if I don't do it now, if I don't make a note now, I'm going to forget. Because something's going to happen. You know, not everything's the enemy. It's just, you know, your kids. Not everything. Well, the devil came, got me today. You know, don't give the enemy. You're child of God. Well, the devil's been busy today. Don't say that. Can't believe. You know, don't speak that. Don't give. He's defeated. See, even in Matthew 20, all authority and all power has been given to me. What's He give to us? Then you know, are there attacks? Yeah, there are attacks. But, you know, I'm not going to give place to the enemy. People do that way too quick. Christians do that way too quick. So just because, you know, what happens is your time will get taken. Once you start blaming the enemy for stuff, your time, because you know what happens? You'll focus on whatever it is. That's where your focus will be. It's like sometimes you got back away, get in the word. Sometimes you got to have a righteous anger, right? There's got to be something in you rise up and say, no, not today. Not today. You know, Pastor Brent and I were talking about it. Just talking about the other day. He's just talking about the anointing. I tell you, there's times I know she's preached. You know, anybody that's preached in here, Minister Lee Howe, Minister Mara, Brother Don, you know, Brother John, you know, anybody that goes and does Go Team stuff, and Brother Greg, you know, there's times where you went where you didn't feel good. You're like, oh man, that day we were out soul winning. I was in the van, I driving the van. I was like, I feel to go this direction. I don't know why I'm going this direction. I go one block and I said, guys, I got to drop you off. I got to go back to the church house. My stomach is a wreck. And I felt fevered, you know. I don't know if it was COVID time. Who knows? I felt bad. I was like, I got to drop you off. I come back to church. I kind of shook myself. I said, no, today's soul winning day. I'm going back out on the streets. And I'm just like, you know what the act of faith was? I just had to walk. I had to walk down, you know, I wasn't knocking on people's doors and getting up in their face and breathing all over them or anything. I just felt like I had to walk with the team. Then I lost Lisa. I didn't know what happened to Lisa. And it was Angela, you and Angela. I lost them. I didn't know. Where did they go? I'm looking for team members. And, you know, and I always tell them, don't go into houses of people. You know, guys, we got to be wise, right? And, you know, here they were coming out of a house with people. Praise God. But then Seema invited them, you know, come on in here. They were in there praying. I don't know what was going on. But you know what? It is like, you know, just seeing it. It's like, how do I position myself or picture myself to do? And like I said, you know, all I had in me that day was to walk. I didn't have much to say because I just didn't feel like talking. So I walked. And I prayed. I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I just prayed. Brother Greg, I was walking with Brother Greg. Brother Greg was doing the talking. Everybody thought, well, Pastor Brad must just be being quiet today. No, I was in pain. But as I walked, we never made it off Virginia Avenue. I said, we're going to hit about four streets today. Let's do it for 2 hours. We'll hit, you know, you think, honestly, usually we can hit 100 plus homes. We never made it off Virginia because everybody wanted to talk that day. And we were praying with people. We didn't make it very far. Went to Monongah the other night. We didn't make it very far. But, I mean, you know, points of contact were just points of contact. Praise God. I've got two guys that I got to go back and invite to the men's conference. One of them works with Jamie. He was like, that food sounds really good. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. That food sounds really good. Whatever it takes, that they would come in and be able to hear a gospel message. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I believe that's how we win. I believe that's how we make disciples. Whatever it takes. You got to buy somebody 20 cheeseburgers? Buy them. You got to give somebody a car? Give them a car. Amen. You know, just be obedient. Do what the Lord's asking you to do. Yeah, doctor. Yeah, many of you guys know, and if you don't know, I mean, he had quadruple bypass surgery this week. And I felt even before I come down here, and it's just, I felt to pray for him. And and you know, I can't share that. He's been ministering for 44 years. And 44 years, that's a long time. And you know, he said, you know why I'm in Dallas? To fulfill my assignment. To fulfill my assignment. That I would hear, well done, to fulfill my assignment. He said, because listen, he said, I'm going to be held accountable. And see, this is the thing, guys, because if we let this register and we let this resonate in our hearts and we see it as you're going to be held accountable for what you were asked to do. You may think, well, you know, me inviting people, nah, you know, that's small. No, it's not. Me stopping by someone's house to see if they need something, me saying hello to a neighbor. It's not, these things aren't small. But you're going to be held accountable to what God's asked you to do. Not you know what He's asked. You know, we work together as a team. Yes, but I know that you know she's going to be held accountable for what the Lord has asked her to do. We come alongside one another. Amen. That's what we do. And, you know, and that's what we do even as a church. We come alongside one another. We help one another. Amen? Go beyond. Get, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. God has, He has wonderful plans for you. Amen? I don't know if this, you know, like I said, I know I haven't preached it like Dr. Go listen to it. It's a great message and there's some pieces of this I pulled out. It was 4 or 5 weeks ago. Go listen to it. I remember Doctor one time he asked me, he said, I was asking him, I said, you know, I want to become a better preacher. You know, is there any, you know, you've asked me to share a few times in your pulpit, you know, and, you know, it was he's like, yeah, one of these days you're going to be a good preacher. And I was like, well, you know, is there anything that you know I can do? And he says, you know, he said I would just say this. He said, you know, as a pastor, he said I want you to understand who we are. This was early on when we had started with Kings, and he said you should listen to my messages. You should listen to what I preach. He said because it's who we are. And. And I do. So I rejoice in the opportunity to be able to listen to our senior pastor preach and will for many years to come. His messages are recorded and there's a library of stuff. But we grow in the things of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go be on. That's all I got tonight. Pastor Mary, have anything? Nothing? Speak now, forever hold your peace. I guess you're holding your peace. Guys, it's an exciting time, okay? It's an exciting time to be a believer and, you know, and invite 10 people. Set your faith going into this week. You know, invite 2 or 3 people. Invite 5 people. Invite them. Say, hey, you know, won't you come go to church? Invite people to men's, you know, conference. Invite people. You be there. Invite people. I mean, this is it. I mean, you think about it. Guys, listen, if we knew Jesus was coming in 2 years, come on, come on, come on. You know, I would. We'd go home and make our list, right? We'd go home, Jesus is coming December 25th, 2027. You know, you'd go home and make your list. Yeah, I'm going to buy a car. I'm joking. You'd make your list. And just listen. Just keep listening, amen. Keep listening. Keep and respond. This great commission. It's a commission, amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Anybody got anything tonight? Yes. Amen. I'm going to just bless you tonight. Amen.